Valuetown is a production of ChamMV TV. Find out all show information and details at chamMV.tv. Valuetown is directly supported by listeners like yourself via patreon.com/valuetown. What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 124 of Valuetown. I'm Chan Man V, and joining me today is Noxious, Ali Straza, and Jackie Chan. What's up, guys?
Nailed it.
Hello, hello. Hey.
Nailed it. Hey. What? Noxious. Well, we've got a lot to talk about today. Some announcements. You know, I've definitely been tweeting about it, so we'll definitely be getting to that really, really soon. But for those of you just tuning in for the first time, we are a Hearthstone podcast talk show that we just talk about everything that's going on in Hearthstone in terms of playing, in terms of community news, and all that good stuff. So welcome if you're tuning in for the first time, and this is the first time we're doing it on Jackie's channel. So. Pretty cool. Yeah. You want to say hi to all the you're just streaming, so you don't have to say hi to all your fans.
Yeah. Hopefully you guys have all hung around and you're still here. But, thank you for hanging around if you did.
Oh my gosh. All right. Well, to start things off, I want to remind everybody that this episode is, not remind everybody, but let folks know that this episode is sponsored by Game Coach. Game Coach is a coaching website. So for those of you that are trying to become legendary in Hearthstone, and have been stuck at rank, I don't know, 15 or 12 for the longest time and don't know how to get there and really need some assistance, go check out Game Coach's website. It's game-coach.com. They've got coaching actually for Hearthstone, Overwatch, CSGO, League of Legends, and you can get a 10% discount right now, too, if you use the promo code Valuetown. So, thanks to them for sponsoring the show, and, you know, can't wait to see if we can get some folks that can, you know, that have some success stories from coaching, too. All right, so I'm just going to lead things off. I know we don't have, like, all the viewers here yet, and it's bad strategy, but I'm the type of person that opens Christmas presents, like, you know, early, maybe, like, a full day early, because I just can't wait.
Yeah. A whole day early? Oh, my God.
Yeah,
oh, man.
I mean, that's kind of bad that way. Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't tell them I opened it, but I opened it, and then I retape it and that sort of thing. But anyway,
the kid that went and looked for his Christmas presents, like, went and found them in the closet.
That's right. Well, anyways, we got a big announcement today, and I wanted to welcome Jackie and Ali to the Valuetown family, because they're going to be joining as hosts for the show. So welcome.
That was perfect timing. We both went, wow.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, definitely super excited given that Jackie, you've been on the show obviously a good number of times, and you know, Noxious can attest, I think some of our best episodes have included you, especially with talking about decks and fun ideas. So
thanks. It's great to join the team.
Yeah, awesome. And now, Ali, of course, you've been, you know, this stream that I've been watching for a while now and been wanting to get a hold of. So here's a story. I've been wanting to get a hold of Ali for months now. And so I asked Jackie, I'm like, hey, Jackie, you got Ali's Skype by chance? I mean, we're talking months ago. And he's like, oh, yeah, here it is. And I'm like, okay. So, you know, I'll go and message Ali and see if she's interested in coming on. And then it's like, I get like no response ever from her. I'm like, wow, she just doesn't like us.
On my end, I thought you guys just weren't interested anymore. Jackie was like, hey, yeah, Valuetown's gonna be reaching out. I was like, sweet, I get to be on Valuetown, awesome. And then you guys just never reached out, and I was like, well, thanks. Sorry.
Yeah, exactly.
Feels so bad.
We finally straightened out, and it obviously got even further along. I think she's such a great fit for what we do with obviously being a great player, as well as just playing the kind of decks that we like to talk about on the show. So
exactly.
Welcome, also, yes. Or greetings, or however we do it in Hearthstone here.
Yes. Well, I'm super, super excited to be here and be a part of Valuetown. So
awesome. Well, why don't we kick off just by talking about our week, you know, in Hearthstone. That's kind of how we kick things off. You know, start off with you Noxious, like, or no, actually not Noxious. We'll call it with Jackie, just some one of our new hosts.
I am not a good pick.
Exactly. I am not a good pick. I don't know what I'm thinking. I don't even know what I'm thinking.
Noxious is like, well, I've been playing Gwent all week.
Yeah. No, but Jackie, what you been doing this week in terms of our stuff?
I've just been playing, man. I've just been like trying to grind the ladder. What I've been doing this week is doing like a day per class. So like yesterday I had like a shaman day, and then the day before I had like a rogue day.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's pretty cool to kind of like explore all the different archetypes of a class.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I've got some interesting shaman decks that we will have a look at in a bit.
Was shaman your favorite out of the whole week?
Yeah, I've got this. I think like token shaman is just really, really good for climbing the ladder right now. So
it is.
Yeah. Bloodlust die.
Yeah.
The best. Yeah. Allie, how about you?
Yeah, I'm just grinding the ladder, you know, having a good time. I feel like I've actually been playing relatively slow decks for the ladder grind. I feel like I should be playing some aggro, but I've been playing some control priest control warrior.
Yes.
I've been taking it slow just because I've been wanting to play these fun like value decks and stuff like that. So, but it's I've been having a good time.
Control warrior and control priest. That sounds right up my alley in terms of playing. Yeah, just at least early ladder. I don't know why I do that. Like it's the same thing with you.
Why do I do it to myself?
I'm rank 14. Like, oh,
I've been like rank 8 for like 3 days now, but I'm playing control priest. So, I don't know.
You look at your game tally, and it's like, early on the season, I only play like about 15 games a day. I don't know what's going on, and then later on, it's like, oh, I'm playing 40 games a day playing aggro. This is a lot different.
To be fair, though, I'm playing also control mage or Gunther mage with Elise in it now, which I think has been pretty strong. But it's also a slow deck too, so. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I kind of like, the name that it's finally gravitated towards, right? It started off as Discover Mage with the Cabal Couriers. Finally, people have settled on, never mind those crappy cards. They're not necessary. And the archetype is overall, going to be referred to as Control Mage. We've seen lists come up with Acolyte of Pain that replaced the Couriers. Those cards are just not core. And so Discover Mage or Cy Gunther's Discover Mage, just like that name. Yeah. Holy shit, like you're presenting it
so strong.
Well, we will always remember
that. That deck is so strong.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And it was really tricky too whenever there were two types of mages and they looked pretty similar, at least the early game does. And you play the end pretty differently. So it was
tricky. At the moment, like people have been mixing it up as well. People have, like combined Secret Mage with Gunther Mage. Yeah. And so you never know what they've got.
It's tough,
deck, like there's so many different types of mage going around.
That happened to me today. I was playing again, they were playing the 5/5s and the 4/3s and with the secret deck, and then he just drops Medivh on me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, sure. I guess we are secret control now, I guess.
Yeah.
But hey. That's why I like it though, because I feel like you can swap so many like different little cards out. If you have kind of the core Medivh and Alex and stuff like that, you can swap in tech cards like Volcanic Potion or Gluttonous Ooze, depending on what you need for the meta.
Yeah.
So.
I definitely love that. There's so much mage on the like right now. So if you,
I love it. I love mage.
Yeah, Eater Secrets. This is probably going to be one of the best times for you to run that card, and it's been like that for a couple weeks now. So.
Tech it's kind of weak mage. Though against because that's the funny thing is that mage is kind of the most played class. By the way, can we appreciate how the meta evolves from 25% warrior to then a shift towards some shaman, and then there was a shift towards paladin at the very top, and then they were battling at the very top of the matchup charts, I guess, the win rate charts of many classes, and then now we finally settled the meta, I feel like, and it looks like mage is the reigning champion, druid's close behind with the token druid, and it's actually, it's been very different. As opposed to having minor shifts, it's been an upheaval all the way through Un'Goro, and while we're stabilizing now, the journey to this point, I think, was a really good one.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. For me, I've been playing some Control Warrior recently, just from one of Sho's lists, and tweaking that, just at least the base of it. And then, what else did I play recently? I played that, and I've been playing some Shaman, but it's not exactly like it was more of the Evolved Shaman. For some reason, I still love Spirit Echo and Doppelgangster. The value is just too much for me. I just have to get those six Doppelgangsters.
It's so fun, too.
So good. Yeah, yeah, totally. It's too fun to pass up, or at least for me to pass up. But also, I've been planning a fireside too for just down here in Florida, and we're doing our first Tavern Hero ever, because I usually have like very casual Swiss tournaments, just because I didn't want to go through this official, you know, crazy adminning and things like that. But we're going to try it. We're going to try it this time because somebody convinced me to do it. So we'll be doing it this Sunday for all you folks in Florida. Definitely check that out on the meetup page. I'll tweet that out a little bit later. But we're excited to do it, and we're going to be mixing in things like the Hot Wings Challenge. It's at Buffalo Wild Wings, guys, all right? So I want to keep continuing that awesome theme.
That was fun?
Yeah. No.
No.
Yeah, well, I've always done it at Buffalo. So I've always done my firesides at Buffalo Wild Wings, you know. But
I love
yes. Yeah, exactly, right. So we'll be doing the
hey, what's
Hot Wings
happening
challenge.
Here? Like, are you sponsored for this channel?
No, I'm not. I should be.
The Blizzard pay you totally. To make their choice of venue.
Just calls eating buffalo wings.
I know. It's like, what are you talking about?
He's hoping for some sponsorship for free that's wings right. for life or something.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Support. I mean, they clearly agree with him. But someone somewhere.
No, but they're awesome. Dude, the managers, they're freaking awesome in terms of doing, you know, just doing these kind of Hearthstone events there, because again, we're doing those Hot Wings Challenge. We'll have like these special Hearthstone menu items that they're, you know, like angry chicken wings and, you know, things like that. That's going to be fun. And
that sounds so fun.
Yeah.
Dang.
On top of that, 10% of it, you know, they give back to you. So 10%
that's
of the
sick.
Whole event. Yeah. 10% of whatever they make from the food and stuff, they give back to you to help you, you know, support organizing these events. So it's like, man, these guys are awesome.
Heck yeah.
Ridiculous. Yeah.
Seems good.
Yeah. So anyways, check out if you're interested in trying to qualify for HCT just through the Tavern Hero, come and you know, play in our tournament. That'd be awesome. Okay, why don't we talk about some decks? Since we've been talking a little bit about what we've been playing, we should just dive right in and
dive right in.
Yeah. Allie, you were talking about a priest, so why don't we start with it? If there's a priest,
like I said,
I'll start with a priest.
Oh yeah, right. Give the priest the spotlight here. Yeah. As I'm looking at this list again, I'm realizing how darn greedy it is. I feel like it's pretty greedy. I've got Medivh and Yogg, some double giants. I mean, and Elise in there too. But I don't know. I think the whole kind of control priest archetype is just so much fun right now. Probably because of Lyra. And with the shadow visions and the packs and stuff like that. So, yeah, I've been having a really good time with it. I can't tell if the Arcane Giants are necessary. I kind of just added them in there for fun to, you know, to kind of complement the whole Lyra, the Lyra package. But yeah, I've been having a great time with this. I've got some awesome games off of the Elise packs, like getting Tyrantus, just
so
absolutely crushed.
Yes.
That is my favorite card to get off of the Elise packs. Like people can't do anything about it sometimes. Yeah. Like, I mean, unless you've got a taunt, like it's just, you're just there to kill him and smack him in the face twice. So yeah. But no, I've been having a great time with this for sure.
Looks fun.
The Giants are like interesting.
Yeah. Go ahead, Jackie.
I was gonna say one thing about like control priest is that like against the aggro decks like aggro druid, sometimes you can like if you can just have like one potion of madness and then dragonfire potion
and crush them.
I could just win the game on its own. Like do you find in against that you're like struggling against aggro, or is it actually like doing all right against aggro?
Here's the thing. If you draw well, I mean, I guess that's every deck, but if you draw well, I feel like this doesn't struggle that much against aggro. I mean, granted, if you don't get your board clears, yeah, you're going to have a hard time. But I think that, you know, if you can just get your shadow visions on your dragonfire potions, and like I said, the Holy Nova's in there too. So, you know, it's easy answer to living mana. Potion of Madness is convenient. The Tar Creeper in there for the early game. I really don't struggle too much with aggro, but granted, if you just draw poorly, you're not going to have a shot. So, and Priest of the Feast is huge, especially against, mages, you know, they're just so, so helpful. And Pirate Warriors as well. So I don't think aggro is that bad for this deck.
Nice.
Yeah, surprisingly, every time I play Priest too recently, I haven't struggled much against aggro. From time to time, there's some Pyro War that just goes nuts on me.
Yeah,
it
is.
But
sometimes
the druid,
there's not much you can do.
Yeah, the druid is surprisingly not that bad. Like the winning, I beat Druid more than I lose to it whenever I play Priest, surprisingly. But like you said, the Shadow Visions are just give you twice as many chances to get answers. Yeah. And with Druid having such low health minions, it's just right up Priest's alley, right? Like, as long as you have something for living mana, which, you know, Nova does, as well as Dragonfire Potion, you're in good shape once you clear the first board.
Yeah. Where this deck struggles is Jade Druid, you know, even though you can generate a lot of value, like, there's just, it's just tough. So it's, and
praise Yogg, right? Praise
Yogg. Yeah, you just praise Yogg. That's why I added Yogg in there. But the funny thing with Yogg is that I feel like I don't even use him all that much. He's just there. It's like that one card backup plan, I feel like that's just Yogg in general. And obviously a deck like Quest Rogue, it's almost impossible sometimes to just beat a Jade Druid and Quest Rogue with this deck. But no, it depends on the meta, you know, and what I'm running into. But I was playing this when I was queuing into a lot of Aggro Druid, and it wasn't doing half bad. So I was happy with it.
Is Quest... Well, go ahead. Noxious, I think you were trying to get something in there.
Well, I was going to say, like, Quest Rogue is one of those decks that early in the expansion, Priest just took a dump on because every Quest Rogue player had no idea how to play the deck, right. So they just made 5/5s and let you go. You just went Dragonfire Pot, and then Dragonfire Pot, and then you did it again. And, like, as people learn to play the deck, even the dumbest of Quest Rogue players will now bounce Chargers, you know, just hold on to them and kill you in one turn. And that's kind of why, you know, Priest is struggling, is that it had a pretty... I was going to have a pretty good time early on without, you know, without the Purify list. It went for control decks and people were reporting some degree of success. And as time passed, it's really like, okay, we've got to play Purify or we got to play Dragon. It's one or the other. Like, either we play on value with Dragon with some tempo, but the pure control route just gets shut down by, like, a sizable amount of the meta. Yeah.
It's pretty crazy when you feel like you're scared of dying when you're at 23 or 22 against a rogue.
Yeah.
It's like, oh no, I got to get up to at least a 26 to feel really good. But
yeah,
right,
that's definitely definitely a good point about people learning how to play Quest Rogue better. Because at the beginning of N'Goro, I was playing a lot of Freeze Mage as well. Mm-hmm. And I found that a lot of Quest Rogues, like, left their board full, you know, so, and you just use Frost Nova and then they just can't do anything. But I think people have learned, you know, not to do stuff like that. So
okay, yeah. So I think this is pretty cool. The Free from Amber, man. I love playing Free from Amber.
I love when that you card.
There's something very satisfying about that card. It's kind of like Fireland Portaling, but better when you have Medivh.
I love it with Medivh out. It's so great.
They always seem to get something huge too, like something enormously huge, a 10 drop, you know.
I mean, if it's 8 or more, you're bound to get something massive. And that's like, honestly, I think the redeeming card for Control Priest going forward with the, you know, whatever next expansion comes up and modifies the meta. If Control Priest is going to have a win condition, you know, Free from Ember might just be it. Like, we saw some early builds run. Like, you're asking, is Arcane Giant mandatory? But, like, a lot of the early builds were, like, they looked a lot like this with the Glimmer Root and the Trailblazer for value generation. And then they had, like, no Arcane Giants, but 2 Wild Pyromancers with 2 Free from Embers at the top.
Yeah.
So you had, like, this super control-y package in the early game and so much value and big drops that the opponents just couldn't handle it and sometimes just ran over them. So it was interesting because it reminds me of those super early builds, except even crazier with the Giants in there.
Yeah.
I mean, I think one of the only things that seems a bit weird about the list is there's no Wild Pyromancer, right?
Yeah.
Have you been, like, fine in terms of, like, killing 1/1s?
Yeah, you know, and I was thinking about Pyro adding it too. I just haven't really given it a shot yet, but it definitely could go in there and be helpful and help against aggro for sure.
Yeah.
I wonder what I would take out for it. Maybe
could be Creeper.
Something
possibly around, or something greedier, or maybe even
don't
Song
touch
Stealer.
Don't
touch Yogg. You never touch Yogg.
And I mean, in all honesty, if I probably had to take something out, it might be the Giants, like take the Giants out, put the Pyros in. But I don't know. I think they're fun. And they've helped me win some games, just push a lot of damage at the end. So
it gives it the flavor too. You know, if the Giants weren't in it, then it would be similar to some of the other priests.
Exactly.
All right. Well, let's talk about the Token Shaman that you've been playing, Jackie, that you said was super good on the ladder right now.
Yeah.
And yeah, oh, it's got the Finja. It's got the water package in it.
Yeah, so I've been playing, like, Token Shaman's been, like, super popular lately. Like, I've been playing it for quite a while. But, like, lately it's kind of caught on and everyone's been, like, bringing it in tournaments and stuff and it's doing really well. But on ladder, it's, like, insane. And the Finja package is, like, slightly better in this deck than the Finja package would be in, like, the average deck because of, like, Primal Fin Totem, which, like, synergizes with the War Leader and stuff. And Barnes is actually insane in this deck. Like, Barnes, you get Totems a lot of the time or even, like, getting a Murloc. Oh, Aya is great. This deck is great. Yeah. Like, it's really good.
There's not many whiffs.
It looks good.
Yeah, there's not... What would you whiff with? I guess Things from Below.
Well, Thing from Below is awful, but like otherwise, like Firefly, Bloodsell Corsair, those are usually pretty bad, but like Argent Squire is okay. You'll be taking a Mad Tide for sure. You're probably happy to pick up any Murloc. Even Finja. I mean, you get a Finja, you get a Flame Tongue on that guy, start summoning stuff. Like a lot of that stuff that's in the deck can use the Barnes, which is interesting because... I remember when Barnes was theorized, it was like, oh, let's play this in just about any mid-range deck that wants to pull, you know, cards with effects like Paladin Shredder. And it turns out the card didn't really perform well at all outside of Hunter, like where it just pulled High Mains sometimes. Mm-hmm. And even then, it wasn't a top-tier deck. And now, Shaman's running it because every single card they have synergizes with other stuff, which is kind of cool to see. Yeah. Murlocs have their own little synergy. You've got the Totem package as well that's useful. Yeah. Thing from, I kind of like it.
Yeah, it's pretty streamlined and refined. And just trying to get as many minions on the board, right? Like, when do you hero power here? Do you just try to sneak hero powers in, or you want to value hero power type of thing?
I mean, I guess it depends on the matchup. Like, you're trying to hero power a lot of the time, especially with the Thing from Blows. And if you're in like another aggro matchup, you kind of want, like, your hero power is really useful. I think I've seen the only downside to this list is because I'm running like super load of minions. I haven't fit like a lot of people running Devolve at the moment.
Yeah,
I kind of don't have that. So sometimes
you
that's the one like maybe questionable thing about it.
Okay. Yeah, Devolve. I feel like Devolve is so strong in this meta right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but then sometimes. You just don't need it, right? Like, sometimes they'll have, like, an insane Inner Fire Priest start, and you'll be like, ah, whatever. Just have that win.
Yeah, I know, right? And you still have the hexes, and, you know, or at least in those decks, right? You have just those answers all the time. But, yeah.
But really, we're just trying to smoke.
What was that?
I feel like...
I said, really, we're just trying to go face.
Yeah, just trying to go smoke, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I feel like the crazy thing about playing against this deck is you feel so threatened by totems sometime, you know, they have like three power on board or something. And you're like, well, I don't know. I could be dead to bloodlust if I don't, you know, clear the hero powers here. Right. And so it's just like,
no, and that's,
I don't know.
That's the mind games, right? Like the mind game between priest and shaman or even warrior against shaman, right? It's like, well, do you have bloodlust or not? If you don't have bloodlust, then I'm just going to keep letting it go, right? I'm just going to keep building board and trying to get some more value on the brawl. But if you do have bloodlust, then damn. That's 21
damage.
Probably
why the deck is so strong.
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Anyways, give it a try, guys. This is great for climbing ladder. I've definitely played my share of this early on, and it's really, really good for it. And you can go through some games really quickly, too. The next one we have is something that it's pretty common thread on this show, which has been the Nazoth Shaman. Me and Noxious have played all kinds of different versions of this. So it'd be cool to see what your version is here.
So how does this compare to your old version? So basically this version is like, you have the three big death rolls, so like White Eyes, Aya, Ken.
Yeah,
and then it's like trying to get... Oh, really? Is it really?
I don't have loot hoarders.
Okay, wait, loot hoarders. Yeah. Never mind, you got us there. Okay, that's two cards we did not have. Go ahead. Keep going.
Two cards different. I mean, basically, I was trying to like, the whole theme was like to try and cycle quickly and get value out of the Ancestral Spirits and the Spirit Echoes and get a million 10-10 taunts from where I was, that kind of thing.
But that is an issue. I think drawing is something that's overlooked sometimes with these control shamans. It's nice, right? It's nice to get another two or three cards built into your deck so that you can have some consistency with Ancestral Spirits, right? Because you have to have something to Ancestral Spirit that's good, or else you're just sitting there with it in your hand the whole time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Ancestral Spirit's so good with Barnes as well. Like, this is another deck where Barnes is just fantastic. Like, either you get like a Mana Tide, or you can like super high roll and get like White Eyes or Aya or Ken.
Mm-hmm. But, with Hell's Yield.
It's super fun. How have you guys found it in terms of like win rate? Like, with this deck, it's like one of the most fun decks I've played like recently, but I wasn't winning too many games.
Okay. Well, here's maybe that's going to be relevant. So the list that I ended up gravitating towards are the ones that didn't play Ancestral Spirit and no Hallow Zeal. Those turned out to be the most efficient for me.
Yeah.
I thought that usually did more. I started including the Water Surge or whatever, Tidal Surge, the four cost thing that gives you health and kills something. So it's like an extra Jade Lightning ish in the deck, and then you can play Hot Spring Guardians on top of that. So their Spirit Echoes are going to be hitting either the Jade Package or the Wide Eyes type stuff, or you can get yourself some extra Elementals, and you can find room even for Kalamos if you want to cut the Cairn. So you could just play like the Kalamos with the Hot Spring Guardians and make sure you have like these setups. It's a little bit tougher to pace, but you know it's very doable. So you can mix and match Death Rattle with Elementals, and it works okay. Like, honestly, against aggro, a deck that's refined to beat it should not struggle. I think Control Shaman is single-handedly the best deck against aggro in the entire game, but it's so bad. I mean, so bad against lower lists, it's not even funny.
There's just so much emphasis on a single targets, you know? And so, like, if you Ancestral Spirit Wide Eyes or Ancestral Spirit Cairn and it gets devolved, it's just like, oh...
Yeah.
I mean, that's like my game right there. So I think that's where it's a bit weak in terms of at least what the meta is right now and what the strong removal cards are for a lot of the classes.
Yeah, I think one of the other problems with it is that you really just want something like a healing wave so that when like they Alex your face, you just like hex the Alex and then healing wave back up instead of just like these heals that heal a little bit, but they're not like a big heal. The healing's like 6 if you play Jinyu, for example.
Yeah.
And yeah, I found that to be one of the main problems, the like little bits of healing rather than just a really strong, solid heal card.
How often do you Hella Zeal into Volcano?
Very rarely.
Yeah, I was just about to ask the same question.
Yeah.
Pretty much never.
Okay. Yeah.
It's never near as good as it was with Elemental.
Yes, I miss Elemental Destruction.
That's why Hallow Zeal seemed so bad to me initially. It was like, this is a cool combo. I mean, it's a lot of health, but the odds I pull it off, it's like, I might as well just Spirit Echo my Genie Water Speaker. Like, this is going to happen a lot more consistently, right?
Yeah.
When you get a similar amount of health, the occasional blowout, I think, in this deck really comes from when you start stacking Tidal Surge with Genius with Hot Spring Guardians. And like the healing is just ridiculous. And aggro is always a little bit too far from killing you. Mm-hmm. And it gives you time to get to Volcano, which helps a ton.
Yeah. Okay. Well, good stuff. Give that a try, guys, if you're looking for a different type of deck, a very fun and greedy deck. It's definitely fun. Whenever you can get those eyes back and those white eyes back from Nazoth. Super, super fun. Let's see. The next thing is Dragon Control Warrior that I've been playing. So just to refresh that, I was playing this deck that was from Sho's Dragon Warrior, and then I've just been kind of tweaking based on what I've been playing against. So I ended up adding a Bloodhoof Brave instead of an Ooze, or just something to take care of weapons. And that seems to have been helping more, too, just because it was crazy. I was, like, losing against these... mid-range decks I felt like I should be beating or mid-range to aggressive decks I should be beating, but I was just barely losing, so I was like, oh, I probably need like one more taunt in this thing. And ever since I put that Brave in, it's been doing much, much better. But
I was playing this all day today, actually, on stream, and I actually really like the Bloodhoof in it, honestly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I took out the Gore Howl and put in a second Brawl just to try it out.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good idea, too.
Yeah, I kind of liked it. But yeah, no, I had fun playing it today. I've been enjoying it quite a bit.
Yeah, I mean, the Gore Howl, it works really well against like a Medivh or a, Atiesh mage that's getting all that value, and so you can like remove all that. Just so they don't get repeat damage, right? But like against Shaman, against Druid and things like that, the Gore Howl, it hurts actually more than it does help.
Exactly.
And so it's nice for that. It's also nice to finish too, to get that 7 like to the face at times.
Oh yeah, totally. Yeah,
but overall, I think it's a deck that you can climb with. It's just like a bit of a slow climb. If you
to say the least,
Every
you don't get blowouts. 5 hours.
I think the reason it feels slow, as you said, is like you don't get blowouts. Whereas I think Dragon Priest gets more of those.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, definitely.
No question.
Right?
No question. So, Yeah, there's no
Jack and Priest can just build like really like thick boards, you know, with those 5/6s and like your big Twilight Drake. So yeah, they can just spiral out of control, I think.
Yeah, there's just no early game for Warrior that's not completely aggro, right, with pirates and things like that. Like, well, like if we wanted to make this like an aggressive dragon deck, like what would we put in this?
That's the thing. There's like no aggressive dragons, right?
You'd end up ever since we lost Alex Straws's champion, like it's hard.
It is kind of weird how dragons can still be a thing with so few dragons. Yeah. Literally, like Primordial Drake, Bookworm.
It's consistent.
And that's
too.
It. Like then it is the big one.
So. It's super consistent. At least I've found. But there's eight. There's eight in here. Is there six in here? I think there's six in here. But if you hit the historian, you get
six dragons.
Yeah.
It's like
six. Yeah.
Netherspite historian is a thing. Dragons are not a thing. Dragons are actually not a thing. It's just that Netherspite happens to give you more, and you know, Draconid Operative is just a bigger Netherspite.
Yeah.
Basically. Yeah. So that's the reason they're still around. Once Netherspite rotate, like if tomorrow you shot down Netherspite out of the sky, you would play Primordial Drake for the sake of probably Curator, but then you'd be done.
That's about true. It. Bookworm's good too right now. I think that you get some really great value from Bookworm. Whether
it's getting a Shaman, killing like Manatide Totems and playing Tim Totems.
Yeah, Quest Warrior too. You get some crazy good value.
Oh yeah, like so satisfying to kill an Ally Armorsmith just so cleanly. You're like, yes.
You saying Ally Armorsmith just makes me laugh for some reason. So overall, give that a try, guys. There's different variations too. Some people play Deathwings. I think I saw a post on Reddit the other day where somebody got to Legend with just dragon decks, and there's different ways to tweak it to be a little bit more anti-aggro versus more value and things like that. But I tried the Deathwing for a while instead of Alexstrasza, and it didn't really serve me that much purpose, given that I was always able to clear with Primordial Drake and Brawls, so didn't really need that last second Deathwing. Alexstrasza I needed against Mage. Mage is just beating me surprisingly over and over again. What's going on? I'm freaking Warrior and I'm losing to Mage. This is just wrong.
Totally the tables wrong. Have turned, man. No longer can you just assume you're going to have enough armor to survive them. Like I think that's the biggest. So I think the era of Emperor Thorazon was the one where Warriors started losing to Freeze Mage after like all was said and done. But it still wasn't a very polarized matchup either way, really, at that point. It was still like very, very even. Now I feel like the Mage just always takes it. Unless something goes awfully wrong, they just have such a good matchup. Not necessarily the control one with shield block and everything where you have a bigger game, but the current Taunt Warrior lists just get torn apart. Like their armor generations are so low.
Yeah, like people put in the little armor smiths and they help, but sometimes it's just not enough. I think we lost Jestakar. Jestakar, rotating out was probably, affected that matchup so much. So
Noxious things plus, to the Lord for that one.
You can't I hate Jestakar.
Me too.
No, actually, you know what? I don't mind Jestakar. I just mind that they're Jestakaring just to drop a monkey. Like, if they Jestakar to just kill me with like a shield slam to the face, I'm like, sure, that's a legit strategy. But if you're Jestakaring to drop a monkey to then coin flip me to death, I'll pass. Thank you. Like, I'd rather you just rag me. Just rag me, man.
After 25 minutes, nonetheless.
Right, exactly. This is the depressing part. And like those games where you just get Natpiggle and show you, like, you just wasted both our times for this. We could have just skipped straight to the end.
I don't know. I kind of miss Elise. I kind of miss the old Elise.
Oh, I love Elise. But just for her, I don't know.
There's a lot of people that just love those type of games too. Just like, this is awesome. This is like awesome.
Some people in Wild I've seen playing Priest with both the Elises. So you have both the Elise and then you have Shadow Visions to get more
packs. Crazy value. Crazy value.
That's cool.
Okay, well, I think that's going to be it. We got four decks, and we're going to continue doing this, of course, just in the coming weeks like we always do. But right now, why don't we give a shout-out to all the patrons that we have that support the show. Those of you that might be tuning in for the first time, we do have a patron that supports ValueTown at patreon.com/ValueTown. And, this is how we keep the show going. So if you guys enjoy the show, want to keep supporting the show, or want to support the show in any way, go there, think about pledging, take a look at some of the milestones we have, and, you know, a quarter, a dollar, I mean, anything actually makes a big difference. So I don't want you guys thinking that, oh, I only have like a, you know, like, again, a dollar to give, so it's not a big deal. I probably won't do it. It makes a big difference. So if you guys can do that, that would be amazing. And we actually had a big, we had a new producer this week, Ray Dan, who ended up, he messaged me. He wanted to kind of make a big pledge this week so we could do a smilestone this week. So we're going to be doing a smilestone in just 1 second. And Allie and Jackie have never done it before. So
I've never done this before. I got to prep my cheeks.
That's right.
I'm quite worried, actually.
I do want to give a shout out to some of the patrons before we do that. So for our producer, our legendary producers, Mike T and Ray Dan this week, as well as David T, Bryce L, Albert, Richard S, Jason B, James B, Nick H, Juan P, Nick B, and Stuckib. And Andrew P. Thank you so much, guys, for doing that. And just one quick bit of, I guess, house cleaning. At the end of the month, every week or every single time with Patreon, that's kind of like when everybody gets charged for the Patreon. And a lot of times the payment, your payment method gets out of date. So you guys might want to take a look at that. We always get like a good five or six people who I try to message and let them know that it's, you know, that's declining because they probably switched credit cards or something like that. Go take a look at that in case that might be happening to you, because, you know, obviously it doesn't come to us if that's not happening. But why don't we do Smilestone now? And this is what we do for Smilestone. We smile at you guys. We express how happy we are about Hearthstone for the next 30 seconds. So we have to smile for 30 seconds. And yeah, we just don't say anything. We just, everybody just smile at us too, and if you're at home. So... here
such
we go.
A happy 30 seconds.
It is. You guys can't hear the music. I wish I could get the music streamed into the ear, but here we go. 3, 2, 1.
It's already hurting.
It's not supposed to hurt.
It's going.
Okay, all right. That was 30 seconds.
That was 30 seconds?
That was 30 seconds.
Oh, that wasn't too bad.
That wasn't too bad, right? That's not bad. Yeah, anyway.
I was kind of worried that my smile turned into something creepy.
I know, right?
Oh, don't worry. There'll be screenshots posted and tweeted, believe me. But thank you so much again, guys, for all the patrons. You guys, again, are why we are able to do this show, and it means a lot to us. Okay, well, we've got some community news that I wanted to go into, and we had this big event. For some reason, our community sometimes is so funny. Crip, you know, for all of you that have been watching Crip, known Crip for a long time, you know, he saves up his dust because, you know, there was this objective for him to get every single golden card, right? And, of course, you never want to buy a golden card and then all of a sudden you get a golden card, right, from finishing an arena run or whatever from a pack. So you're always just holding out, you know, holding out until that last day when you decide to finally cash in on it. Well, Crib just decided this endeavor is not worth it anymore, or is, you know, it's just not worth the time anymore. So he had 600 and something thousand dust.
Crazy.
saved up. And, you know, he made an event out of this, which is cool. You know, I think if he got to 1 million followers, he would press it. And this was taking over the subreddit for the day. And for those of you that didn't watch it, you know, it ended up being the most disappointing thing I've ever seen in the Hearthstone community. I don't know if you guys saw it or not, but I have this video here. He's going to press the button here. Where is it? Here we go. He's like teasing us all. Okay, here he goes. Okay. He just pressed the button and the client crashes.
Yeah.
So anticlimactic.
I mean, it did that for me at 20K dust. I don't know what people were thinking would happen. Like, it just can't handle.
It can't handle it.
Like, yep. It's not even that it can't handle the information you're sending to the server, because that's getting processed. Is that the sprites that have to spawn for the fucking dust just scale up into, in, like, basically how much stuff you're disenchanting at once. It's ridiculous the amount of surprise that we're trying to be generated. Like all the memories said, nope, just shut this
nope.
down.
Well, I guess it went
sorry,
through.
Chris.
All four memories.
Awesome?
So what happened? Did he disenchant it in the end? Or?
No. Yeah. So he did. He restarted the client. And it was already given to his account. So it was just like there was no payoff at all for it. So yeah.
Poor Grip. It was like, and I think he said that he had. You know, been doing this since before Noxramas came out. Like, it's been 3 years or something. Like, it's crazy.
Well, I mean, I don't think Crib was necessarily trying to save it up for a crazy, you know, moment like this for the community. No. It's just, I think he just decided, like, okay, you know, we'll just set some goal as, a million followers, get people to do it, and then we'll do something fun. But of course, that ended up happening. So that was like 3 years in the making, too. We were all waiting for that. Crazy. Another bit of community, I think this is something that we might do just from here on out. It's kind of fun is maybe talk about a video that we thought was funny. And this has been happening for maybe the last 2 or 3 weeks now that these Life on Hearthstone videos. Have you guys seen these Life on Hearthstone videos? At all?
Like the poetry thing?
Yeah.
I've seen this one.
And it's it's really funny. It's like
it's really interesting.
It's depressing and funny at the same time. It's like just things that you do in real life that you don't think about.
Dude, totally. I'm like, that's me. Oh my gosh. Me. Well, some of it is me, not all of it's me, but so certain moments where it's like, oh my god, that's so good. And so I'm like dying inside and I'm like laughing, but I'm crying at the same time. it's really, really
the
crazy.
The chip part, I won't ruin it, but
yeah, that chip is good. The chip is good.
No, the chip is good.
It's just like real life things. Like if you like go and play Hearthstone, you're like, oh, should we play Arena? Oh, but what if I get 12 wins? That's gonna take forever. Like that's just a little bit like that. Like, you actually think
yeah, or the chip, it's like, you know, you're not going to bend down and get it, or you're not going to kick it with your foot because you know it's not sanitary or whatever. That was so funny. No, but this is like a series that they're doing. It's like, I think this one's part 4 out of 5, so there's actually been a few others before this, but definitely check it out. It's definitely some of the best content I've seen, at least in just some time, at least in Hearthstone, and it's so simple. It's done by the same guy, Jim, that used to do all those funny like Raynad and you know where he would like paste like a piece of paper for a mustache. Do you know what I'm talking about? And he would do like these Crip and Raynad impressions.
Yeah, like the impressions.
Yeah. It's the same guy that does that. He started doing this video and it's really, really good. Anyways, I figured we'd spotlight it a little bit. Go check it out. It's on Super Do the Games. And again, this is like the fourth out of the at a series of 5 that they're going to be doing. So there should be a new one in the coming future. Okay. Well, yeah, I think from now on, if you guys have like these cool videos or whatnot, just make sure tweet us or you can email us valuetown@chamanv.tv and we'll be sure to, you know, check them out. Speaking of videos, you know, with this, this episode again is sponsored by gamecoach.com or game-coach.com. And we've got a nice little trailer here to show you guys. So we'll be right back. Here at Game Coach, we have a variety of games such as League of Legends, Hearthstone, CSGO, Overwatch, and many more to come in the future. When you have picked a game of your liking, simply choose one of our fantastic coaches by clicking on his or her profile. Here you will see background information and their calendar availability for a lesson. Starting a lesson is super easy. Coordinate with your coach and meet up on Discord, and then jump on a voice channel and begin your journey to becoming legendary. Game Coach. Just Druid. All right. Well, yeah, again, go check that out, game-coach.com, guys, and you know, get some coaching today and use the ValueTown promo code. You get 10% off for that. All right, next segment we've got is Topic of the Week. And
dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, topic, dun, 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 exactly. Dun, dun, dun. We need to get some of those dun, 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 added.
Honestly, we should probably record a soundbite for this Topic of the Week thing, or we just go topic of the week. Everyone, at the same time.
Everybody we'll use that the right there. Just clip that.
Yep, we've already got it. It's already been recorded.
We've already got it. We're good.
Just have to clip it now. Easy. No, but topic of the week, we have, I think, Ali, you wanted to talk about this, which was tournament mode was another topic of discussion because Ben was mentioning it. And there were some findings, too, just with a client and people discovering that there was a tournament button, you know, like a tournament mode button or something that people noticed. And Ben also did an interview where he talked about just, you know, tournament mode, some of the things that he'd been thinking about, what type of tournament mode would be the best, you know, and he talked about just the difference between having a true bracket system where you would play a round and you have to wait for the next round, and then you could have a more asynchronous experience, which is more like arena, you know, where you're just playing, you know, against just like a more of a 1v1 type of thing or just a single player type of thing. So I figured it would be good for us to talk about what we think is the most ideal tournament mode. Ali, what are your first thoughts on it?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that, you know, I think is an issue, and it seems like a lot of people were talking about, is the time commitment sometimes when it comes to a tournament mode, you know, so you need to set aside, like, you know, if you go to a fireside gathering or something, or you do an open cup, like you need to set aside a significant portion of the day to be able to do it. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's been one of the challenges, you know, it's figuring out the best way to do it. And I don't really even know like what the best solution is. But I love the idea of it. And I feel like, you know, it's exciting because mm-hmm. that Ben mentioned it, because this is the first kind of news or the most we've heard of it so far. I think it would be great for the game. I'm not actually sure what the perfect format would be, honestly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not, Jackie, what do you think, man?
Yeah, I mean, having like a, say you had like a 64-man tournament and then everyone's in like groups and like it's like a knockout and you have to wait for each round. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think a lot of people don't have the time to do that. Like maybe one way of doing it is you could have like a Swiss tournament. So you have, say, 8 people and they all have to play each other once and they can arrange in their own time when they play each other and then they submit their result to the client, maybe, or something like that would probably be a more practical way of doing it. But mm-hmm. yeah,
work.
That's an idea.
Yeah. Noxious, how about you? I know we've talked some about tournament mode in previous episodes, but the most ideal tournament mode, if there, you know, was a button today, you press it, what would we see?
I think it would look a lot like Arena. I mean, we've seen Heroic Tavern Brawl, and while it's not quite the same, it's pretty much what they've been experimenting with. I mean, it's obvious that that's what they've been experimenting with. Like, let's not kid ourselves. Heroic Tavern Brawl was their foray into how much people would be interested in that mode. And one of the ways you can gauge that is how many people are actually, you know, paying for that stuff. Now, without the crazy rewards, there might be less interest. But the competitive players that exist that already are engaging this ladder anxiety grind, you know, which casual mm-hmm. players have no interest to engage in, will probably find their fill in just a tournament mode with a similar, you know, system to that of the arena. The thing is, it's going to be based on MMR, and the problem is, at the end of the day, Ladder already mimics that, so what they would have to do is probably find a way to isolate pockets of players within, you know, with each other. Mm-hmm. I think it's that's kind of the clunky thing, is they would have to create little pockets of, like, okay, these 10 players are in the same group, and then, you know, they mm-hmm. end up winning their own little mini tournament, even without waiting for each other. Mm-hmm. Whereas if they just pit everyone against everyone, it just ends up being the same as the ladder system, which is let's just put it that way.
I think there should be two different selectors. If you go into tournament mode, you can have like your standard bracket thing. If you want to wait, if you're the type of person that wants to wait, then, you know, there should be a place for you with a bunch of other people that have their whole day that they want to play, you know, a single tournament. Maybe it's only like an 8-man tournament. Maybe it's something, you know, reasonable where there's only like 3 or 4 rounds and that's it. But the asynchronous one, I feel like, is going to be the most accessible one, which is going to be like Arena. I think that what they've done with Heroic Brawl and Arena is, from a model standpoint, I think it's fine. It's just the details I think they could improve on. Like, if you didn't make it feel like, okay, whoever just gets to 12 wins, whoever gets to, you know, 9 wins, whatever it is, and you just get a reward, that doesn't feel like a tournament. That just feels mm-hmm. like you're trying to make an achievement, right? if they made it where it was, you know, each round that you did, it could still be the same thing. Like whenever you lose three times, you're out. But if you just keep playing where like each round you get, let's say 1 point for round one, you get 2 points for round two, you get 3 points for round three, and then it's more of a point total. And then who you play against are the people in the same rounds. And you can kind of keep doing that. And then after three losses, you can see what your point total is. And then, you know, in whatever bucket of people, you see if you won the tournament or not. Because there needs to be some element of winning, right? There's no competitiveness to just having a single player experience right now.
I like that point system, honestly. That I think that would work relative.
Just needs to be something where I beat you. You know what I mean? Like I beat these people. I didn't just like achieve 12 wins. So
I feel like that would, you know, drive the competitive aspect too, right? You know, people would be more inclined to get into it if you feel like, yeah, I crushed him.
But that's one good thing about talking about, like at least Ben talking about it, is that, you know, maybe a lot of people didn't think about that. People are just like, oh, we just want tournament mode. We just want tournament mode to fix XX and this, you know, HTT or whatever it is. But it's like, well, you have to think of an accessible tournament mode. Like, what is that?
I mean, maybe you could even have like the kind of Heroic Tavern Brawl type of thing where when you get three losses, you're out. Mm-hmm. But you can just, you keep going until you get three losses. And then maybe it resets every week. So say you have a winner every week or whatever. So the person with like, oh, I got 25 wins and then I got three losses. And then
within their own bracket, though?
Maybe, maybe not.
Yeah. Well, I think they should create little buckets of people. You know what I mean? It's kind of like, have you ever guys been to a casino where they do the slot machine contest? Have you ever seen that? I mean, I don't mean to bring the RG aspect of slot machine to this example.
I've never been to a casino before, but I don't know what you're talking about.
So slot machine tournaments, by the way. Yeah, slot machine tournaments are pretty much what you think they are. But it's like 50 people, though, you know, sign up at the same time. And it's just people doing slot machines for 50, you know, for whatever, an hour or 30 minutes. And then whoever at the end of that ends up winning is the person that ends up winning for that 50 people. And then he gets a prize or whatever. It could be something like that, I think. You know,
that is so well designed, dude. People will, like, if you just know how much people will spend over the course of an hour by jamming like quarters, you can actually marginalize the value of your prize to be like below whatever everybody spent and just screw everyone over. This is so brilliant. It's like Heroic Tavern Brawl all over again. This is brilliant.
Totally right. So something
you're laughing
like that.
Now, but it's not funny.
I know.
I kind of like, yeah, sure. I don't mind that idea. I mean, like, the analogy is a little bit heavy, but the idea sure still stands. I mean, like, while we're on the topic of that, right? Like, what about just external client for tournament play? Like, now with the extra support they're giving for Fireside Gathering, and it seems like they're, you know, trying to support that.
Oh, big time,
I think it's a really important thing for them to add infrastructure, whether it's within the game or not. I don't really care, like, how they structure it, but that allows for Firesides to have their own little bracketed tournaments. I think in that sense, tournament systems that are more classical in nature can work very well. Because of the existence of Fireside Gatherings and the, you know, ongoing support by Blizzard for that game mode, or the, you know, that experience, I guess. So I wouldn't be surprised if at some point we saw something come up like the Innkeeper's package, and it comes with like this application that lets you do whatever, you know, set up a bracketed tourney. In which case, maybe that can also be used for online tournaments, you know, like Star Ladder or just the HTT circuit.
Point. That's a good one.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I mean, another thing about potential tournament mode, do you think it could potentially be you get put with people a similar rank to you? Because kind of, imagine if you got people at like rank 20 going against like people high legend. Like, is that like, is there no way of avoiding that? Or like, do you think that's...
But sometimes
that could be
you
a
have... Yeah. I was just going to say, sometimes you have, you know, really high legend players that maybe just like start a little bit later in the month though, you know, so they might be, you know, rank 12, but, you know... And so the matching system wouldn't be completely fair there either. So I don't really know how you'd match.
Well, we all have MMR, right? I mean, everybody has an MMR in Standard, and everybody has an MMR in Wild. So whichever one you end up playing, they'll know where you should be in terms of that. But but the question really is should they be matching up based on that, or should they be matching based on another parameter, which could be
metric?
Yeah, so what, you know, wherever they are in that tournament, you know. Because, you know, maybe somebody gets lucky and he gets super far, and then, you know, he should be playing somebody who's really good, right? He shouldn't be playing anybody that's that's similarly skilled as him if he's, you know, if he's just in this part of the bracket or whatever.
Right.
Okay, yeah. So, but tournament mode, you know, I think every time this comes up, people get a little bit excited. But then Ben tempers us by saying, oh, by the way, we're still not necessarily working on it quite yet.
Yeah.
But, really? Yeah.
Soon, but not soon, but maybe.
It's a safety net. Yeah.
We're still talking about it. I mean, we definitely want them to talk about it, so we'll never discourage that.
I hope it happens. A new element, you know, to the game would just be, yeah. I think, a cool
I think it will happen. I think it will definitely happen for sure.
It's just a matter of figuring out the best way to do it because there's a lot of challenges. So I guess we just have to be patient, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, Q&A. Why don't we talk about some questions or some email questions that we've gotten? We had a few of them. And Landon P. starts us off with, there's been a lot of noise about the price of Hearthstone lately. A point which seems overlooked is regarding the importance of scarcity in a CCG. I argued that a relatively high price is important for making cards scarce, and that players plays an important role in making the game fun. Scarcity means that opening a legendary is exciting, and that players must be creative to puzzle through limited resources to be competitive. Yeah, I mean, what do you guys think of that? I mean, he definitely goes on and talks a little bit more about examples of that. But, I mean, the general idea is that it's opposite of what I think the majority of the community thinks, which is scarcity or making things more expensive could be a good thing.
I think scarcity is, like, I do think it's a good thing. I think, unlocking new cards and saving up for a legendary and be like, yes, I got my new legendary, I think that's an exciting part of it. Like, I was free to play for like my first 2 years, and I would look forward to every time I'd open a pack, it'd be like, oh, might get legendary in this one. Like, instead of opening like loads of packs at a time, it'd just be like one at a time. And I found that really exciting. So I think that's kind of, I can see where it's coming from. But then at the same time, I think one of the main problems is for someone coming new into Hearthstone, and there's all the previous expansions. So playing Wild, for example, is like pretty much impossible because it's just, there's so many cards that you have to go back and get, kind of thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I can see where it's coming from.
I don't know. I'm going to have to like somewhat disagree with him a little bit. I think, yeah, the new player experience, like Jackie was just talking about, is it's not that enjoyable, you know, when you have to spend, you know, so much money on the game. So I think I'm more on the side of, you know, I don't know, not necessarily making the game cheaper, but I don't want to make it more expensive, in my book, at least. Yeah.
I think that making it expensive, it definitely alienates more people, you know, and then it becomes I don't know, it might feel a little bit like a pay to win type of game, even though it's not necessarily, because you can get lucky in different ways, but it might feel like that. It's like, oh, you have Reno Jackson, for instance, and I don't, you know, or a lot of people don't.
Yeah. And I don't, therefore I lose.
Yeah. Noxious, what do you
think? Well, just makes...
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, it just makes the latter experience, you know, frustrating. You know, if you're, you know, playing against a deck and you're like, oh, well, maybe I would have won this if I actually, you know, had this one card, you know? Mm-hmm. So. Yeah.
Just to point out, I don't think it should be more expensive. I can just see the, like, I think the unlocking stuff and...
That's
a good thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Noxious, what do you think?
Yeah, that's a weird question, because the good answer is, oh, the prices are fine when it comes to the psychology of the player and feeling good about opening new stuff, about the feelings of progression. But the flip side of satisfaction is always frustration. And if you remove the frustration of not having anything, you don't feel good about those legendaries. So, of course, blah, 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 blah. You need to keep the prices high to make it feel good. But it's the same argument as saying, like, it's good to be starving because when you eat, it'll feel good, which is a shitty argument to ever make to someone.
And pleasure I've never is not heard just, that one before.
Pleasure is not just derived from, you know, the removal of pain, right? Like, that's just not the way it's going to work. So I can understand, like, the idea of having prices exist and, you know, there being a time limit or like a time that you have to wait before you can unlock a certain amount of cards. The thing is that you need to remember as well that while that is widely accepted to be okay, nobody's really disagreeing with, hey, we want everything for free. people are saying we don't get stuff fast enough, but mobile games have been, you know, in the past 10 years over the course of the, you know, the emergence and development of that platform, game developers have started writing books and, you know, really tapping into psychology, you know, to understand how to make the best possible games that are the most addictive, that'll get the most, that make the most money. And those are the guys on the marketing team, and they're on the, you know, the financial side of Hearthstone that have very little to do with design. The pricing has nothing to do with Ben Brode. You know, he's not like sitting at his desk like, oh yeah, I want to price that shit really high. So what you need to understand is that you're being manipulated as a gamer that's in playing freemium games in dumping time to try to get something you mathematically can't get because they've carefully crafted a system where you cannot possibly obtain everything by the time the next expansion comes around for free. It's crafted that way. And once you actually look behind the curtain, I guess, and you see it, sure, you might disagree with it. But once you're aware of it, it's a lot less, like the frustration kind of dissipates where you just understand how the world works. And in that respect, I guess, then you can make arguments as to whether or not you'd like the system change, but you're not going to change profit incentive in this type of you know, financial system.
Well said.
Yeah, that's definitely well said. I would say that the only thing I'd add to that, I totally agree with that, but the only thing I would add to that is I think if you did have a system where, you know, a lot of folks, you know, that, you know, basically the only the whales would have all the cards, even more so than in Hearthstone right now. Like people that are crazy whales that have all the cards. If you had a system like that, I think it would have to be, the ladder system would have to be very, very different than the ladder system we currently have. Because right now, with the ladder system being pretty shallow, you know, it's only 25 ranks, right? And I've mentioned that I think it would be a good idea to extend that by a lot. But if it's only 25, then you're putting these people in the same bucket. Like they're in the same sandbox all the time. So if you would be running into those situations where somebody would have some cards and you're just like, oh, that's such a super bummer. I don't have that card. And that's why, like right now, it's like you want to give the players as much access to the tools so that it can at least have some kind of leveling aspect to it. Because you know, people are not in the same sandbox that should be a lot of the times. You know, like if somebody that only has, say, a very limited amount of cards, they could be playing against somebody that has a lot of the cards right now, where in reality, we could probably make a system where it would be more consistent about putting these people that are just beginning for the first time, never even played casual, just playing for the first time, would be playing against each other for a good amount of time so they could progress. So that's the only thing I would say. The ladder system just doesn't match or isn't suited for a system like that with scarcity.
I'm going to play devil's advocate here because I have to. But you need to understand that it like gaming's come a long way, you know, since the very early days. And one of the constants about designing video games has been just how much frustration do I want to put into this gaming system? Because it's actually intentional. You might think, oh, it's incidental, and they fucked up the glider system. Noobs are getting fucked by legend. No, it's intentional.
It's not intentional, dude. Trust me,
when I say it is intentional, I've worked with game developers on that specific topic and talked about how much frustration you want.
So I know what you're talking. And, I mean, I know what you mean. Like you wish they had the like because you're playing against.
No,
those cards,
it's not
you
even that.
Get those cards.
It's not even that. It's people are masochistic to a point, okay? So it's like when you play a game like Diablo and you want that next item, you're willing to grind a certain amount of time for it. Now, for the dev, the challenge is finding out what exactly is that amount of time. So that after you just let go, right? So if they go too far, you just abandon the game, never come back, and you abandon the product.
Yeah.
But the thing is that for Hearthstone specifically, that frustration is monetizable in a very direct way where some people just rage buy packs. I don't know how many friends you've talked to that are just poor in Hearthstone specifically, not in real life. And they're just like, well, this legendary ruined me. You know, I had a pirate warrior without patches. Patches keeps wrecking me every game because he gets the extra ping. Fuck this. I'm buying packs. It happens very often. And while they did a really good job at isolating new players, because they did that. Initially, Hearthstone had a very wide open system where everybody was matched against everyone. They've narrowed down the new player experience where you have more noobs playing against noobs early. You know, the rank 25 to 20, you can't lose stars, was intentional. And then even beyond that, they made it happen to where past 20, you're also facing off against noobs again. They're like trying to make that even more obvious. The thing is, at some point, they have to let you go. And because of the slowness of progress, there is never going to be a good time. there's literally never going to be a good time to let you go into the wild of the Hearthstone pool, because most people will have cards at some point. Yeah. And unless you put these guys like in their own little bucket for 6 months, at the rate of acquisition Hearthstone...
I know where you're coming from, and I do agree with some of those sentiments. And there, it's like something in between what you're saying and what I'm saying.
Sure.
Like, you know, there's an extreme where, you know, we have folks that are literally just coming out of Innkeeper, and let's just say they're playing against like crazy legendary decks. That can be disheartening to the point where it's not like rage inducing where they buy packs. You know, like, especially early on, somebody like literally gets into the ladder and that's the first experience. They leave the game, you know, and you do see exit. They're tracking exit rates and they're figuring out, you know, where that is. And I've done that too when making games. I figured making puzzle games, especially, you try to figure out where your customers or your users just give up on the game because it's too hard. And so yeah. You have that aspect, but you also have the aspect where you're talking about where it's closer, right? Like, it's like, oh, he only had like a few cards. So, yeah, if I just bought some packs, you know, I could totally get there too. And it encourages people to buy packs. So, I think it's not that far off from there. It's just I would still like to see the ladder have extended a little bit just to create a little bit more room for those new players.
Well, yeah, I mean, go ahead.
So, I was going to say, I mean, generally, I think when people like, they get past the Innkeeper and then start the game. I don't think they're going to be kind of getting crushed by Pirate Warrior on turn 5 and like their first ladder game at rank 25.
I'd hope not.
And another thing, I think one thing a lot of people don't talk about is that actually Arena is one of the best ways of being able to play cards you don't have access to, because obviously in Arena you can just play anything. And so if you don't have the gold to grind packs, I mean, if you're just starting out and you don't have that much money, I would spend all of my gold on Arena, because you get to play all these cards you don't have access to. You can play crazy legendaries, and you can also grind gold, and as you improve, get better win rates. And I mean, I would advise anyone starting the game to play Arena, to be honest.
I feel like that's kind of the natural progression. I mean, at least that's how I started with Hearthstone, is I played a lot of Arena in the beginning, and I feel like that's kind of what happens for new players. But I think it's good, though, because I feel like Arena sort of teaches you the basics, you know, of how to play the game. And, you know, you get to, you're right, like Jackie said, you get to play with a lot of fun cards. And I think it's a good introduction. But granted, you still have to spend the gold to get there. So
yeah, there's definitely some investment in the beginning. But once you do get better at it, then that's when you start getting the gains from it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think this is really the... When I talk about frustration, like every dev tries to frustrate the players, but that's just, it's not completely true. It's just that it's so easy to make frustration a game design tool that it tends to be resorted to very often, you know, and not every game is going to try to frustrate you, but it's so simple to use. It's done very often, but to compensate for that stuff. And I think, you know, this is the plus side of it. Hearthstone does an amazing job of giving you an alternative route, like Tavern Brawl, Arena, casual play, AI. You wouldn't believe the number of players who just play against AI and just never engage ranked play. So for all the frustration systems that I know exist within the game, they've also added non-linear content like to distract you from that frustration when you need to step away from it. And I think for that, we can at least give Blizzard a lot of credit.
Okay, well, we got another question here. That was a good one to add that he asked. Landon asked a good one that we just talking for a lot there. But Adam A. has a question specifically for you, Noxious. I'm going to keep sending this till Noxious takes up the challenge.
Okay, whoa.
He's only said it 2 weeks. He's only said it 2 weeks. We didn't get to it like last time. Would you think about a Tavern Brawl what would you think about a Tavern Brawl where you could build a deck using any card from any class? Selecting a class would only matter for which hero power you have. What do you think the best deck would be? I challenge Noxious to create an unbeatable deck using this format. Maybe even one for standard and one for wild. Are you up to the challenge, Noxious?
Jesus.
I mean, on the spot, of course not, right? That'd be pretty
hard. I'm thinking it's probably gonna be an aggro deck. Like for sure.
Probably got patches in it.
And it's probably got patches in there.
I mean, Pirate Warrior assumption. With Hunter hero power, right? I mean, that's...
No, that's not even good enough, because, like, you need to account for the fact that there are, like... I'm talking crackle level broken. Like, you know, like you could fetch anything from any class, dude. Like you can, you don't have to patch as necessary. You can literally kill people.
I mean, people regard Lifetop as the best hero power, right? So would you
absolutely you play Warlock?
Right.
Would you just always pick Warlock, or
it would have reason not Warlock? And, like, so maybe if you played like Pirate Warrior with Warlock hero power, that would be awkward because it's like you're slowing down by tapping too much. Sometimes it's just better to keep going phase.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a really tough puzzle. And you think it might turn out that the actual answer is play all the healing with Hot Spring.
That's what I mean. I wonder
maybe the answer is
control.
You know, yeah. Just play all the heals.
Wouldn't it be funny if the answer was it's a nil deck?
Yeah, like that's my point.
Fantastic.
It might turn out to be true if you can just jam enough health gain and then mill people down. I mean, who knows? Combo could be the best one in that format. It's tough to say. I wish they would just give us a tavern ball with that, though. Like, that would be sick. If you could,
I mean, actually, it would probably be, like, some kind of tempo deck where you play all the super cheap... Because you play, like, Innovates and Preps backstabs, like, all in the same deck.
Oh, you mean coin, prep.
So maybe you have, like, Mana Worm and then, like, a super spell-heavy, like, face spell thing. That's probably what I'd try.
Okay, I think Mana Worm would be a good candidate for, like, broken stuff in that deck. There's no doubt. I mean, it's like Prep is a Kirintor Mage in spell form, so you could slap some seriously broken stuff in that deck. Oh, man.
Yeah, would you go? Maybe Mage would be the.
Yeah.
Mage. Or no. Okay, yeah. Never mind.
Well, we're not thinking about. You're just thinking about hero power. So, like, in terms of class, you just think
exactly.
about hero power.
Warlock.
Yeah. So it's like. No, for me, it's like Warlock or Hunter. It just depends on where you want to go, right? Like, it's. Oh. It's gonna be one of those.
You can play Sorcerer's Apprentices and Radiant Elementals, and then like you play like Power Shield.
Oh my god, the Radiant Elementals!
I want to do this.
Apprentices.
Why don't we do that? All right, for next week, we should come up with some conceptual things and see what we.
That would be literally the coolest tavern brawl in the. I would love that to be.
That would be super fun. Yeah, and you have to
send in the idea now, guys.
Hopefully they're listening.
But, you know,
yeah, I'm sure they do too. Just turn off all the restrictions in the game. Just let us do whatever we want. Yeah, pick class and then build a deck. Yeah, that'd be great. All right, well, that's it for questions. If you guys have any questions for next week, go ahead and email those to valuetalent@chainmanby.tv, and we'll try to get to them. We still have like maybe one or two that we didn't quite get a chance to get to. So if you have written to us before, you know, there's a good chance that we'll still get to them. I do want to remind folks that Value Talent is available on audio channels too. So if you like to listen to podcasts on iTunes or, you know, just on your Apple devices or as well as any Android devices, Value Town is available on Google Play as well as SoundCloud and iTunes. So definitely check that out. And if you want to help out the show and you can't, you know, pledge to the Patreon or anything like that, leaving us a 5-star review helps in a big way too. So people can find Value Town when they're searching for Hearthstone podcasts. So I do want to give a shout out to the last one that we've gotten, which is from SD Beach Bum. Thank you so much for doing that. And yeah, definitely check that out too, because we actually have a good amount of people that listen to the show now on audio, and everybody that watches on Twitch, they don't even realize that, but there's a large audience that does reside that way. So we definitely are appreciative of those folks too, of course. And we do have a bit of news. So we did have this announcement in the beginning, right, with Jackie and Allie joining the show, but we do have some news with Noxious, who will actually be stepping down as a host, which is sad, especially for me, given that, you know, we've been doing the show now for over a year. But why don't I let you take it, just kind of, you know, take the mic here, Noxious, and then I guess I'll give my comments at the end.
Yeah, well, it's been a tough decision, but I've had like so much stuff on my plate recently that time-wise has been very difficult to find the time to prepare the show with you, rather. Like initially we were working a lot together on what the topics would be in the first few episodes. And as time passed, I got less and less involved with that process because I was just swarmed during the week. And then I would come in and have to look at the notes. And I always felt like one step behind. I wouldn't have deck lists ready. So I always felt like I was missing a little bit of the involvement when it comes to preparing the show, which is, I think, super important for these types of, this type of content, right? Especially a podcast that where you're co-hosting, it's really important, I think, to be extremely engaged. And I felt like I kind of been dropping the ball in that front. Regardless, I've still been having fun. And that's the thing that you know, I'll just, at the end of the day, take home with me with that one. I've been more and more focused, of course, on playing Gwent in my own time, and I've been playing less and less Hearthstone. I've been watching more than I think I've ever watched, you know, with the amount of content that's out there. The competitive side of Hearthstone just still stays like a topic that I'm interested in. You know, I've been, I cast Starlighter recently. I've been keeping track of the win rates, the matchups and everything. So I'm still within the Hearthstone bath, just not as much on the player side. And I feel like a lot of the people who are within that community say that, you know, Ali Straza and Jackie, for instance, would be better suited for hosting purposes. These guys, you know, just generally speaking, are going to be much more in tune with the community. Like, you know, this whole week, I kept track of the competitive side, but the whole crib button completely missed it. You know, they just didn't really follow that. And yeah, I feel like I've just missed the boat on so many of these little things. So over time, maybe at some point I'll, you know, hop back in as a guest. I'll probably show up, up on the show at some point.
Anytime.
For reason or another. But yeah, in the meantime, it was a great run, man.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, I just add my two cents, which was, you know, I just want to thank you, obviously, for hosting the show. And, you know, it came at a time where we kind of got together and, you know, it was when I was doing the show pretty much by myself and having just a revolving door of guests each week. Right. And decided that it would be awesome to do something with you. And that's like almost a year and a half ago. And I wasn't really sure what direction I wanted to take with the show. So, you know, I think joining up with you really helped me with, you know, feeling, or just getting a feel for what direction we wanted to take Valuetown. And that's kind of where we are today. So, you know, I want to thank you for doing that. And it's been a blast doing it. And, you know, anytime you want to come on, buddy, it's always open door for you. It's still part of the family, of course. You know.
Will do.
But yeah, so that's going to wrap it up for at least Jackie and Allie's first show hosting. And we're going to have a lot of, like, we're trying to brainstorm, come up with some fresh ideas. We're going to have some changes to the show. So get ready for some fun things in the upcoming future. But, you know, you guys want to do shout outs? Jackie, you want to start us off? Where can people find you? All that good stuff besides here?
Of course. Yeah, I mean, this is my channel, so yeah. I stream like 6 days a week. Great. So if you want to watch my stream, I play Wacky Dexter 6 days a week. My Twitter is F2K_Jackie, where I post my Dexon, all that stuff. Thanks to my team Fate Karma for supporting me and helping me stream. Feels good, man. And thanks for having us on the show. It's great to have us. It's emotional that Noxious is leaving. I feel kind of the emotional speech, man.
You'll survive. Yeah, it's moving.
But, yeah. I feel like a Life on Hearthstone video now, man. It's like happy and sad at the same time.
Yeah. But no, I'm sure we'll have lots of fun in the future. Should be good.
Yeah, absolutely. Allie, you want to do some shouts? Where can people find you?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, my Twitch channel is twitch.tv/AllieStraza. It's Straszza. A lot of people spell it wrong. So.
Including me. Earlier. No. Yeah.
It's like the za is at the end, Straza. Anyway, and my Twitter is F2KAllie, or _Allie. And yes, shout out to our team, F2K, obviously. But yeah, you can find me there. I stream Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So that is my schedule. And yes, thank you so much for having us on. And I'm very, very excited to host in the future.
Awesome. Noxious?
Yeah, generally speaking, shout outs to you. With all the work they've been putting in Valuetown. Good luck to my new, I guess, replacements, co-hosts.
No, thank you.
Will not be co-host. My co-host of the day. We'll call it that. And as usual, I guess, a big shout out to Complexity for letting us live the dream as players and content creators.
And I'll round things out. Of course, again, three of you guys for doing the show today. Everybody for watching. Thanks for, you know, obviously coming to Jackie's channel. We're going to be starting to do it a little bit more off of my channel just to try things out again. Like, change is coming. We're going to try all kinds of new things. And if you miss any of the show, you can check out the VODs on the VOD on youtube.com/ChamMV. Again, you can find it again, the audios on iTunes, Google Play, as well as SoundCloud. And you can follow the show's Twitter at ValuetownGG. But that's going to be it. Oh, one last thing, too. People have been asking about Streamer Showdown. We're going to be doing another Streamer Showdown Hearthstone a little bit later. But we are going to be doing Streamer Showdown at E3 next week on the Twitch stage. So I'm pretty excited about that. Yeah, I'll probably tweet some more news on that as we get closer to it. But, yeah, definitely tune into that when you get a chance. That's going to be it for Valuetown this week, guys. So for Jackie Chan, Ali Straza, Noxious, and myself, ChamMV, we'll see you next week. Peace.
Peace.
Bye. Bye, guys.